And in these holiday times, I like to preach on the Psalms. And I prepared a sermon this morning on Psalm 121 and 122, two short psalms, seeing how they link into one another. But because the heating didn't come on until 9:30 this morning, instead of 4:30 when it should have come on, I'm going to shorten my message this morning and only speak about Psalm 121. Psalm 121, of course, is a very well-known psalm, and I think it's good to speak on it when we're aware of the passage of time at the end of a year. Let me ask you, first of all, do you find your life an uphill struggle? Well, Psalm 121 begins with these well-known words, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The reason we like this psalm is the very first line, its reference to the hills. And when David wrote this psalm and spoke of the hills, he either meant that the hills were an inspiration to him to turn to God in danger, or he meant that the hills themselves presented the danger to his life and he needed the help from God. And I'll think of both those aspects of the psalm just now. Firstly, if you love mountains, as you know I do, you'll know how they point beyond the world to eternity. They are majestic. Therefore, the creator of the heavens and the earth must be even more majestic. The hills last through the thousands of years of a changing world history and remain the same. Some people say they don't want to go to the Holy Land, to the land of Israel, because they feel it will have changed so much from the times of the Bible. Well, it's true, it has changed in many ways, but what hasn't changed are the hills and the valleys. They are the same hills and valleys that were there throughout the times of the Bible. We read in Psalm 90, "From before the mountains were born, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." It was in the mountains that Moses received the Ten Commandments, that Jesus was transfigured before Moses and Elijah. It was on the mountainside that Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. But the hills and the mountains are not only an inspiration to us, the hills and mountains are themselves a danger to the mountain climber. And in the days when this psalm was written, the hills and the mountains were a danger to all travelers, because the roads and the paths of those days went through the mountains. And I think this is the real meaning of this psalm. When David saw the mountains through which he had to travel, he was aware of the danger that they posed for him, and he said, "Where does my help come from?" And the great mountain journey that was made by David and later by Jesus and many of the characters in the Bible is the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a dramatic mountain road, climbing 3,500 feet. Through beautiful gorges, but dangerous gorges. It was the way Jesus travelled on his last visit to Jerusalem, where he was arrested and crucified. And several dangers are mentioned in this psalm. The danger of your foot slipping, the danger of sunstroke in the day, and the danger from the moon at night. That simply means it's dangerous to walk at night in the mountains. And its meaning for us today is that in our journey through life from one year to another, we face many dangers. And for most of us, if not all of us, there are times when we feel that life is an uphill struggle as we go through the mountains of life. Well, we should not be surprised that there are dangers round about us. We live in the same world as everyone else. Whether we are Christians or not, we breathe the same air as everyone else. We're surrounded by the same germs, the flu germs, as everyone else. We drink the same water as everyone else. We shop in the same shops as everyone else. We're citizens under the same government as everyone else. And we're buried in the same ground as everyone else at the end of our lives. The difference is that we know that we have a God we can turn to in our life. And the psalm says, He will preserve you from all evil. That does not mean He will stop you from having accidents or getting the flu, but it means He will preserve you from that ultimate evil which will attack your soul. He will save you from that. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Now, as the traveler in those days walked through the hills, he would see on the top of each hill a pagan shrine. The Old Testament calls them the high places on which pagan sacrifices were made. And the people of the Bible were warned to keep away from those pagan shrines. And the traveler through the mountains knows that he will not get help from the pagan shrines on top of the mountains, but from God, the maker of heaven and earth. In these days, many people are turning to pagan shrines to find their help. Horoscopes and fortune tellers. I saw advertised on the television last evening that one of the Sunday newspapers coming out today, I can't remember which one it was, is giving you a big, beautiful supplement on how the stars, how your horoscope will guide you in the coming decade. In other words, that newspaper is turning you towards superstition, the equivalent of the pagan shrines that surrounded the traveler through the mountains. But this traveler who wrote this psalm knows that it's not from these pagan shrines that he must get his help, but from the maker of heaven and earth. The psalm says, "The Lord watches over us." Three or four times it says, He watches over you. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus said, even your hairs are counted. God knows everything about us. He watches every detail of our life. The psalm says, He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. Do not think that God is too busy with the turmoil in Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union to care about you. Though He cares for all nations of the world and He cares about these momentous world events, He cares also for your life. He does not slumber or sleep in regard to you. He does not forget you. He's not too busy with other people. Verse 8 says, The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Your coming was your birth into this world. That's how you came into the world. And God preserved you and gave you the breath of life. And He will be with you in your going. That means your departure from this world. I have seen many people depart this world in the presence of God, even if they've been very ill, even if they've suffered physically. I've seen many depart this world in the presence of God. The Lord will be with you in your coming and your going. Mishaps, accidents will happen to us in our life, but the Lord will preserve his people from their foot slipping, it says. He will not let your foot slip. In other words, the Lord will not allow you to make such a bad decision that you fall away completely from him. He will keep you from that. The New Testament tells us that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Not persecution, not famine, not war, nor any evil. These things will come, but they will not separate us from Christ. But that's the end of Psalm 121, and as I said, I'd hope to go on to Psalm 122. Psalm 121 speaks of God's commitment to us, a commitment which we celebrate at Christmas when we remember that the Lord committed himself to our humanity by being born as one of us. Psalm 122 speaks of our commitment to him, our response to him. It begins with the words, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And there needs to be that double commitment in our lives. God's commitment to us and our commitment to him. Like a marriage, the bridegroom commits himself to his wife unconditionally. And she responds and commits herself unconditionally to him. And so for 1990, remember that the Lord is. But do not forget that for that to really be sealed in your own life, you need to be committed to him. May each of us find that true in our own lives in the coming days. Let us pray.